Very thankful for the Lord's blessings again for another day. And appreciate how the Lord has been good to me. He's blessed me in my soul. He's blessed me in my body. And I know that He's been good to you. Every day that God gives is another blessing. And it's another beautiful opportunity. And I'm glad to be back in West Virginia. We've missed you, and I still have the words ringing in my head from several years ago after Brother Mark passed away. We were here for the funeral service. We had traveled pretty much all night one night to get here. We stayed, got in, had just enough time to kind of sit down, relax a little bit, and come to the visitation for Brother Sammons. We had intended to stay another day, but the weather started turning sour on us, and we were advised that we needed to get back a little farther south, that we had to be back home by Monday morning. And there was a dinner in a community center here, and I remember someone from the congregation, just as we were getting ready to leave, saying, "Don't forget about us here in West Virginia." And I'll tell you, those words have been ringing in my ears for years and years and years. And I don't forget about you folks here in West Virginia. If I'm not here during one of your meetings, it's not because I have forgotten about you. Because I've thought about you. I don't know. My wife said it's been 2 years. I was thinking it's been 3 years since we were here, but she's very likely right, 2 years. But it seemed like three. It seemed like an awful long time. But I'm glad to be back. And I know there's been a lot of changes in your lives. There's a lot of changes in our lives. Every day, every year brings about changes. Some things that we are anxious about, some things we're not so anxious about. And I think that one of the things that we have to get used to is that the Lord has a... He's got a plan for every one of us. We can't see it. We don't always know what it is. And I'll tell you what I have found to be my experience. This will be my testimony. And it's very likely yours too. There have been some doors that would come open in life and you'd gladly walk through those doors because you were anxious to greet what was on the other side. And then there are some doors that open up and you don't want to go through that door. You don't want to have to walk in that room. But in the plan of God, the great big plan of God, He knows very well what He's doing with every one of us. And His Word has promised to us He will not put on us more than we're able to bear, but will, with every temptation, every trial, every test, make a way to escape, that we're able to bear it. And I tell you, folks, that puts a challenge on me. It tells me that if there's any failure, there's any shortcoming at all, it's not the Lord. It's me. And I have to measure my walk with the Lord daily. When I get up of a morning, when I see the gray coming through the windows and the light of another day, before I can even clear the cobwebs and the mist out of my mind, I say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for another day. Folks, every day is a blessing from the Lord. A little burden I have on my mind this evening, I would take from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, the first and second verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many times have you heard the teaching or the preaching or been told to not be conformed to this world? I've heard it over and over and over again. But I'll tell you, folks, as I have Thank the Lord has allowed me to see enough birthdays now. I'm realizing, looking at the whole picture here, I'm realizing that I've lived most of my productive days. That the days that I have ahead of me, this old body, and it's nothing new. Many of you can say the same thing. You've experienced it. There's a place, there's a threshold that you cross in life, and you realize that it's different now. Things aren't the same as they used to be. When you were strong and rearing your children, rearing a family, and you had the abilities to go out and hit that workload every day, there's a place in life where that starts to change, and you're not quite as capable of doing the things that you once were able to do. You don't have the stamina. You don't last as long. You are thankful when the siren goes off or the clock hits that number and you can punch it and go home and get in the air conditioner again or whatever. You're thankful for that. But yet, in all those stages and phases of life, I found God to be faithful. And in stepping into some of those rooms where you really don't want to have to step, what I have found is the Lord is always there. When He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, folks, I found His word to be true. When He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," I found His word to be true. I found those places where when we come up to that door and we have to walk in that door, we might step back several times, walk up to the threshold and think, "I can take it now, I can walk in," and step back and say, "No, I can't." Folks, my testimony to you is I've had to do that many times in life. I've had to go up to places where I felt like the Lord was asking me to go, calling me to go, a place of deeper consecration, deeper understanding. I've found that there have been places where I would walk up to that level, to that door, and I would think, I must step through, I must walk through, but there was a fear there. I remember well when I felt like the Lord was talking to me about being sanctified. Now, I want to tell you here this evening, folks, you're looking at a man that was one ignorant boy. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know about the church. I didn't know about religion. I didn't know much about salvation. I remember one time whenever I would ride my bicycle up to a neighbor's home. They would have family worship, and we'd sit down together, and I'd hear them read those Bible stories, and I didn't know who they were talking about. I had no idea who these people were, but I listened. And they would ask questions, and they'd talk about it a little bit, and I'll tell you, I know more than once that they knew full well that there was this little guy sitting there didn't have any idea what it was they were talking about, but they never once made me feel embarrassed. They never once made me feel ashamed. They were patient with me, and they sat there and they read those scriptures, and today those things ring in my mind, those opportunities ring in my mind. And when the time came that I had to say goodbye to one of those, I didn't want to walk through that door. I didn't want to walk through that door except the Lord. I'll not share that personal part of it with you, but the Lord made me to know that what He was doing was the right thing. And He'd had it all in control. But I'll tell you, folks, God is a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. And He will lead you step by step, inch by inch. He'll lead you along the way. And if there are places in your life today, this evening, that you don't really understand and you're not really sure, I want you to know that if you will stay true and have faith in God and maintain a desire to do what is right, God will lead you through those places. When I heard the teaching about sanctification, I would hear that song, "Lord, I bow low at Thy feet. I give my all to Thee." In a way, I thought I understood what that meant. And in a way, I felt like I understood that that meant giving everything. But I really didn't know all the details about it. And I heard the preaching about sanctification. And I heard about the consecration. And I wanted to do right. But I'll tell you, I was afraid to step across that line. I was afraid whenever the time came and the Lord was dealing with me about being sanctified. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure. I thought, I'm going to get rid of everything I've got. My car, my job, my tools. I've got to just turn loose of all of that. I won't have a thing left. I'll have nothing. Now, I don't know. You may have felt that very same way. Maybe you had better understanding than I did.
But I've walked up to that line and said, Lord, I'll do it. No, Lord, I can't. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. No, Lord, I can't. I had to step up to that line many times. I'll tell you, folks, God has been patient with me and He has been good to me. In my weakness and my frailties and my shortcomings and my ignorance in life, folks, God has been good to me. But when the time came, here's my experience, and I think you'll find it's been the same with you. That when you are willing to make that step and make that consecration, you're willing to step across that line, in that threshold, into that room, where, yes, Lord, I will. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of my own will. I'm tired of my own way. You can have it all, Lord. Whatever you want to do with it, it's all yours. I didn't know what I'd have left that night. I didn't know when I got up and walked away from there if I'd have anything to go home to. I didn't know what the Lord was going to require of me. I'll tell you what I found out. What I feared the most was just fear itself. It was just fear. And the Lord, I turned right around and found that the Lord put just about everything that I had ever thought was going to have to be gone and given up forever, He put that right back in my hands. I said, now be a good steward of it all. If you realize where it came from, if you realize that it wasn't yours in the beginning, if you realize that God gave you the ability to have all of these, whatever things you've got, little or much, if you realize that God blessed you with all that and He is the one, He is the source of all that is good, He put all that back in your hands and said, now, occupy it till I come. Do the best with it. I'll tell you, folks, God has been good. Now, along the way, I had a lot of things to learn. And I remember talking to my friend, got the cart ahead of the horse a little bit, but talking to my friend about salvation one time. Easter time was coming. And I had heard the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I asked him, I said, after Easter, after the Easter service, Easter Sunday service is over, if I go to church and I'm in that Easter Sunday service, will I be saved? That was my question. Will I be saved? See, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. And I found out to bow before the Lord at an altar of prayer. He would meet you there. I want to tell you this evening, folks, the way of serving the Lord is a beautiful way. It works. God is always there for His trusting children. He's always there to answer prayer. It may not be in the way that you think it will be. It may not be in the way that you want it to be. It may not be in the direction you think it will go. But God has always been there for His children. Many are the ones who've hazarded their lives, who stood before the kings, who stood before the magistrates, who stood before the councils, and were told that they can't teach, can't preach, you must recant. If not, we're going to off with your head, we'll burn you at the stake. And they wouldn't give up. We sang a little song one time about the Hebrew boys, and it said they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't give up, they wouldn't recant. O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, but if not, I want you to understand, we're not going to bow down. We have to reach a place in that, like that in life, folks, where we find that we're not going to bow down. We won't bow down to the things of this world. The beggarly elements that are here. The scripture here says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes a renewing of the mind. It takes being willing to be instructed. It takes being willing to be reprogrammed. It takes being willing to take my will. As one of the songs says, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. there's a song that has more and more become a favorite of mine in these books. I've told the folks at home, and maybe other places too, if it ever came to a place where they took my Bible away from me, give me one of these. Let me have one of these in my possession. Because as I sing these songs, more and more we realize, I think, folks, every one of us, we realize when we sing these songs, more and more and more we can identify with the words that are on these pages. The songs that are written are by people who have heard the Word of God, they've read the Word of God, they've lived the Word of God, they've tried God and found Him faithful. They've tried Him and found that He was true, that He would never, as He said in His Word, never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has made Himself true and He's shown Himself to be faithful to every one of His trusting children. But there's a song, number 300 in this book, Is Not This the Land of Beulah? Every one of these verses is very special to me. The one that was ringing in my mind today is this third verse. I am drinking at the fountain, where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river. Thank God, folks, there is a pure river of life that flows from the throne of God. I've tasted life's pure river. Have you tasted life's pure river? Have you taken a drink, a real deep drink of that satisfying water that Jesus said to that woman at the well, I have water to give, and if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Lord, evermore, evermore give me that water. Let me have some of that. I'll give you water that'll help you to be satisfied in life, that whenever you're facing obstacles, trials, difficulties along the way, the things that circumstances of life may not change, but you'll have peace down inside. You'll have peace in your bosom. You'll have something deeper than what is around you, deeper than the circumstances. You'll have something to hold you. For I have tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures. Have you found that today, folks? Have you found that in your walk with the Lord? As He has led you, as you bowed before Him, wherever it may have been, in altered prayer, and you said, Lord, would You have mercy on my soul? I know that I'm lost. I know I'm undone. I know I've been discovered. I know I'm not where I need to be. It amazes me how in a moment, in a flash of time, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit convicting power of God, is able to illuminate everything about a man and show him where he is. And let him feel that he's on that road to error, road to sin, road to hell. My soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay, for I've found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Where are we this evening, folks? Let's ask ourselves a question as we're on a journey. I hope everyone in here is on the right road. I hope everyone in here this evening has heard the voice of God, has heard the call of God, has accepted His offering of salvation. He says He's not willing for the death of any, but that all should come to repentance. I hope that everyone in here this evening has accepted that offering that God has for you. And I hope that you have, when you've done that, if you've heard that still small voice speaking to you and calling to you, for a deeper level, a deeper love, where He wants to have all of you, where He wants you to be willing to turn loose of all your ambitions and give them all to the Lord and let Him put that back in your hand with your and entrust it to you to be a good steward of all the things He's given. And finding out that in doing so, the Lord begins to work on us, folks, and we start to become transformed in our thinking. We start to become transformed in our mind. Can I tell you something this evening? I believe in the full sanctifying power of God, making a man a new creature, and a man being consecrated and set apart for the Lord. I also believe that there are things that we face in life as we grow, as we mature, as we face experiences along the way. As I said earlier, when those doors open up and we say, this one too, Lord. And He says, yes, this one too. Because I've had enough birthdays now to see that there are things, folks, that we have to get down on our knees and on our faces before the Lord about that we weren't expecting 25 or 30 years ago. I'll give you one little example of that. I've got one little one sitting here tonight. Little grandson. Each time one of those little fellows is born, I know that it's... I remember whenever we were... Tammy and I were rearing our children. I was... When we were... She was carrying ours, I would say, Lord, how are they going to make it in this world? How's it going to be? How's it going to be for them? Well, I'm done with that phase of life now. My children are gone. My youngest is 21. Graduated from college. Got his own job. Got his own career path he's going down now. That phase of my life is done. I'm not rearing children anymore. I have concerns about where they're going, what they're doing. Those things still on the altar before the Lord. But now these little ones come again. And it's a different phase of life. I know their parents want to do right by them. I know they want to do good for them. I know they're trying to take care of them. Sometimes I look at what's going on and I scratch my head a little bit and say, you know, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I'm not so sure about that. But that's not my little child. It's theirs. They're the ones that are rearing those children. And I find that it's time to get on my face again before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, You can have him too. Yes, Lord. I think I can do real good by him. I think if I had to do it, Lord, I could take care of him. I think I could do the right thing by him. Lord, yes, you can have him too. And those things are the unanswered things that we don't know about. We find out that there are things like that that we face along the way. And we have to be willing to turn loose, consecrate. I find myself having to reconsecrate things to the Lord. Yes, Lord, you can have that too. And I find that the whole walk with the Lord, the whole process, there is a will involved and it is mine. It is my will. It is your will. To be transformed and have my mind renewed and not thinking the way I used to think, not going the way I used to go, but having my mind and my whole thought pattern reprogrammed and transformed. I can't spend time, I can't dwell on the things that I used to dwell on. I don't listen to the things that I used to listen to. I don't look at the things. I don't go the places that I used to go. I can't do those things anymore because I find that along the way I've found that they have upset the apple cart. And I had to be willing. The Lord will knock on the door and say, son, don't you think that that's causing you some trouble? Yes, Lord, that could cause you some trouble. Don't you think that it'd be best to lay that thing aside? You know, if God so desired, He could just come down with one fell swoop and that thing would be gone. But He asks you, are you willing? He asks you, are you willing? Are you willing to say yes? That little song we sing in our book, I'll say the great word. I'll say the great word. I used to think I scratched my head when we were singing that. What's the big word here? I'll say the great word. Yes, I'll say the great word. But what is the great word? And then I finally figured it out. The light bulb came on in my... Yes. I'll say the great word. Yes. I'll say the great word. I felt so dumb. But I realize that that's exactly what the Lord is wanting us to do, folks. When He comes along and He asks for something, He asks us, talks to us about something, He's asking us to say yes to Him. Will you say yes to me again? Will you be reprogrammed? Will you take the direction that you want to take, or will you take the direction that I want to lead you? Will you have enough discipline on yourself to say no to yourself? Will you have enough discipline to think differently along the way? Will you have enough discipline that when you are confronted with a choice, someone comes to you and says, hey, let's go do so and so, and you're confronted with a choice and you think, I'm not so sure that that's the best thing for me to do. I have a choice to make. Will I make the right choice? Will I stand up for what I feel is right before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'll give that over to you? You see, the song says, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I've found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. There's not one thing that God has asked us to be willing to give back to Him, to turn loose of, but what He has something far better to replace it with. Far better to replace it with. When you lie down on your bed at night, you can have peace in your soul. As you're going throughout the duties and responsibilities of the day, the Lord can bring a song. The Lord can bring a scripture, because He has free reign, because I have said yes to Him. I've given space to Him. I've given Him my heart. I've given Him my life. I've given Him my all. And that's what the Lord is asking for from each one of us, folks. He's not asking for any more than what we're capable of giving, because He said, my grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said, he came to the Lord about a problem. I don't know what that was. It's not recorded. He came before the Lord with a problem. And he sought the Lord 3 times to have that thing removed. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. I don't know about that Apostle Paul. I thought about him a lot. He said, you know, you read his writings and you hear of the experiences he went and all the faith that that man must have had and the deep revelations that he had, an intelligent man, knew so many different languages, was a Roman citizen, had contact with the Caesars and with different kings and in the king's courts and called before the councils. The man had he was a well-known man and looked like he wasn't afraid of anything. It looked like it. And as I think of the man, I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of all the things that he had going for him. In my mind, I have him pictured as a big man, a tall man, as a strong man with a booming voice. But I don't know that that's the case, because I read in the Scriptures it says that his letters are weighty, but his speech is contemptible. I don't know what. Paul might have had the loudest, high-pitched, squeaky little voice from a man you've ever seen. He may have been a little old shriveled up fella that didn't have it. There wasn't anything about him that was commanding, except he had a walk with the Lord. And that the words, even though maybe his voice was high pitched and squeaky, that when he heard the voice, he said, "That's, you know, I can't hardly stand to listen to this man talk." But you heard the words and said, "There is something about what this man says. Never did a man speak like this before me." So I wonder sometimes about that Paul. That may have been one of the battles that he had in life. Lord, would you give me a better voice? Lord, after my experience on the road to Damascus and I was struck down blind, I was blinded there for so many days. Ananias came by and prayed for me. And those scales that fell off my eyes, they've left my eyes all bugged and deformed. And people can't even stand to look at me. Folks, I'll tell you what. When we get a vision from the Lord, and when He comes by, those things don't have much meaning anymore. The Apostle Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times to be relieved from this thorn in the flesh, whatever it may have been. And God said, my grace is sufficient. There's not one thing that you and I are going to experience or bump up against in our life and walk with the Lord, but what? His grace is sufficient. It'll carry you through. It'll hold you. It'll make you able. One of the things that I've been amazed about this little song, number 300, is that the author, in this hymnal, the author says, anonymous. Anonymous. Don't know who wrote it. But whoever it was, somewhere found a relationship with God. Oh, the cross has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved this to be true. When I'm in the way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. Thou needst not fear, for I've tried the way before thee, and the glory lingers near. I wonder sometimes how close are we to really having the glory of God come just illuminate our soul and our spirit. How close are we sometimes, and we just don't quite get there because of fear on our part. I wonder for myself sometimes, how many times, Lord, when I was walking up to that threshold, walking up to that door, and you were asking me if I was willing to step into that room, and I said, yes, I will, no, I won't. Yes, I will, no, I can't. Folks, can I tell you this evening, if you're in that place tonight of, yes, Lord, I want to, but no, Lord, I can't. He knows. He knows. He knows where you are. I encourage you to be willing to make that next step. I encourage you to be willing to say that great word, yes, to the Lord. And I encourage you, folks, and I encourage you to try the Lord. Find out if His promises are true. I'll tell you, every one of them are. Not one promise has He broken. Faithful to His trust is He. Not a word seems half so precious when my Savior talks with me. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. Let's pray earnestly for one another. We haven't made it yet. We still got some traveling to do, don't we? We still got some things to go through. Some of these parents rearing their children, I know some of the things you're facing. You're saying, what do I do next? When they reach their teenage years, I want them to know the right things. I want them to hear the right things. I want them to have been taught. And it's so quickly that time gets away. So quickly it gets away. But I'll tell you, if they are put in a place where they can make the decisions, make the choices, take them to church, get them to Sunday school, give them the opportunity, give them the chance. Don't take that chance away from them. Don't take that opportunity away from them. Give them the chance. I am so thankful that God had mercy on my soul. And I'm so thankful for the people He put in my life that helped to start a little flicker that, praise God, He was able to blow, to fan, and cause it to catch and burn in my own life. And I am so thankful, and I've been blessed by the Lord because of that. So if you ever think that your little place, your little corner, the little thing that you're doing doesn't amount to much, I want to say, be faithful to it. You never know what it'll lead to. Amen.